The reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning if you'll join us on the live stream. In case you don't know me, my name's Joy Maudsley. I'm the Associate Rector here, and it's great to welcome so many people here in church this morning. If you can, do keep that passage open if you've got a way of doing that, but otherwise, no worries. You can tell a lot about someone's worries or hopes if you could hear what they pray for. To pray is to express the desires that you have, your wants or your needs. We might pray for someone who is ill, for the safety of our children, or for that job interview. All these things reveal what's on our mind, what our concerns are in life. In 2018, the charity Tear Fund carried out a survey, and that showed that one in two adults say that they pray. Even among those who say they're not religious, 20% pray. Last year, Tear Fund discovered that 1 in 20 adults had started to pray during the first lockdown, despite not praying before. So I wonder how the last year or so has changed your praying. Perhaps you've started praying, perhaps you've stopped praying, perhaps you've prayed more than you did, perhaps what you pray for has changed. But if and when you do pray, it undoubtedly reveals what you're most concerned about. Last week and this week, we've been looking at some of the prayers of Paul. Paul, that great follower of Jesus, who played a great part in the church growing after Jesus had died. And our reading today is one of those prayers written in a letter to the Christians in a church in Ephesus in Turkey. And we see in this prayer what was on Paul's heart. We can learn about the kinds of things we can pray for ourselves and for each other in this church, and today for those who came to be baptized. Paul pours out his heart in this prayer. A bit before our reading, he's been explaining how about Jesus and how he died to bring us to God. We who will go our own way, we wander off, we wander away from God, we do our own thing, we live for ourselves. And as hard as we might try, we can't put things right with God. And so Jesus came and lived and died, and in so doing, bridged that gap between us and God to bring us back to God. So he's been explaining how Jesus died to bring us to God, and he's been explaining how Jesus died to bring us together. All those who believe in Jesus come together as part of the church. That's really important. We form one body. We welcome Alice and Barnaby baptized into the church today on what is just the start of all that God wants to do in their lives. So because Jesus died to bring us to God and he died to bring us together, Paul prays this amazing prayer that we can use today. For this reason, Paul says, I kneel. Now, in Paul's day, people usually stood up to pray. But here he talks about kneeling. It's to plead with God because this matters so much. He calls God Father, a reminder that we all have the same Heavenly Father and we come to Him as we pray. Whatever our experience of our human fathers, what we know of human fatherhood at its best is true of God, plus, 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 in His relationship with us. When you pray, you're not praying in the air, but to God the Father. And there are three things that Paul prays for that we need to. And the first is strength and power. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's easy for us to run out of strength. At the end of a long day, to be tired, to have run around after children all day, to have had a hard day at work. When my children were small, I remember getting sleepy even while I was stood up. However much, we need a fresh dose of physical strength and energy to keep going. That's not Paul's prayer here. He's praying for inward spiritual strength. For God, who made this amazing world, who has access to so many resources, to strengthen us in our inner being, in our hearts. And in the Bible, the heart and the inner being represent the center of who we are, our personality, our thoughts, our will, our emotions. It's about God working through His Spirit in our lives so that we have faith and decide to walk with Jesus, to live for Him and stand firm for Him. It's a work God wants to do in each of our lives. It's something He'd already begun to do in the lives of the Christians Paul was writing to, but Paul is praying that they will allow Jesus to settle down in their hearts, that He will dwell with and in them. The word dwell is about making a permanent move, not as a visitor or a lodger, but Jesus making His home with us. And it's a good thing for us to hear today and a good way of praying. Have you allowed Jesus to make His home in your life? Perhaps you've invited Him in, but it's not really a permanent arrangement. You waver a bit in your faith, so you need to be strengthened with power. You need to decide how much a part Jesus will play in your life. You need a fresh experience of Jesus coming to live in your heart, knowing that He is with you always. Baptism, we heard earlier, is the start of the journey of faith, not the end. Today, parents and godparents have made promises on behalf of Alice and Barnaby. And our prayer is that you, and in turn Alice and Barnaby, will be strengthened so that Christ may dwell, live, settle down in your hearts, and that you might live for Him. There are a lot of outward trappings to Christianity, but these verses bring us back to the fact that what is happening in your inner being, inside your heart and life, is really important. It reminds us that there is a spiritual dimension to our lives. We are not just physical bodies. And interestingly, that's something our culture increasingly recognizes, that we are spiritual beings, even while our culture rejects our message of the difference that Jesus makes. And secondly, Paul prays about love. He says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. There are two images here. The first is that we will be rooted in love. A healthy tree makes healthy apples. Roots go deep into the right soil, and love is that soil. The second image is that we will be established in love. That's the picture of digging deep, of firm foundations. Now, I love the Angel of the North sculpture, And interestingly, there is more of it below the ground than above. The foundations are deeper than the sculpture is high. It has deep foundations so that it can cope with the winds that blow around it on that hill. God's love for us in Jesus is the soil and the foundation, as key and as basic as that. And from there, we will grow. We will build well. And in knowing God's love for us, so we can love others. We need God's strength and power at work in our lives to enable us to love each other in all our differences and our quirks. Those were easy to get on with, those we wouldn't usually mix with. The Christian faith is not about intellectual knowledge, it's about love. God's love for us, our love for others, and together with all the Lord's holy people, growing even deeper in the knowledge of Jesus' love. That's why in baptism, one of the promises is about a child being helped as they grow up to take their place within the life and worship of the church. The Christian life is not meant to be lived alone. We're more likely to be rooted and established if we live it with others. We know as humans what power love has. It can lead us to do rash things, to make great sacrifices. It can change the course of our lives forever. Love can make us feel secure or crazy or overwhelmed. It can reduce us to tears. It can cause us to leap for joy. It's been a source of inspiration for books and poetry and songs. And Paul's prayer is that together we might be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's not a prayer that we will love Jesus more, but that we will understand his love for us. The love of Jesus is wide enough to include everyone. It extends to all humanity, every person, tribe, nation, culture, every age. No one is outside the breadth of his love. The love of Jesus is long. It's a love that was there at the creation of the world, planned for us even then, a decision to send Jesus to save us. And a love that will never leave us as we look long into the future and beyond the grave. Jesus' love has been directed to you personally since before the beginning of time. The love of Jesus is high. It reaches up to the heavens and catches us up in that love. Go out and look at the sky. We've had some great blue skies this week. His love is higher than that. And the love of Jesus is deep enough to reach us wherever we are, whatever we have done. This week, I just finished reading a book by Corrie ten Boom called The Hiding Place. It's about her experiences in Ravensbrück concentration camp. Even there, she discovers the love of Jesus. And her sister says, "There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. We can never find the bottom of that love." So let's pray for ourselves and each other that together we might begin to grasp the extent of this love, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, even though it's actually a love that we can never fully grasp. So whether you've been a Christian for 40 years or you're taking baby steps of faith, there is always more to know and experience. And there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. And finally and briefly, Paul's third prayer is for filling. He says that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul wants his fellow Christians to be filled with the fullness of God, able to grasp the extent of Jesus' love such that we will be filled, that we will be full of the Holy Spirit who will fill us with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things that reflect the character of God, and who will fill us so that our lives will be different, will be more ourselves, will be more who God wants us to be, and play our part in the life of the church. There's an evangelist in the 19th century called D.L. Moody, and when he was asked why he said he needed to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit, he replied, "Well, it's because I leak." And as an article in The Guardian that I read yesterday said, "No one can pour from an empty cup. Without being filled with the fullness of God, we have nothing to offer others." So what is your next step today? Is it to explore the Christian faith more? Is it to invite Jesus to dwell in your heart, even if your faith is small? Is it to take a step, as Dan has, to publicly affirm or reaffirm your decision to follow Jesus? Is it to be committed to God's people, knowing that you need them, to being in church? Is it to pray that you'll be able to grasp something of how much Jesus loves you? Is it to pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you afresh so you will know God's power in your life where things are dry and stale and empty? Please do not hesitate to speak to me or Will or Jackie or another Christian around you. We would love to talk and pray with you. And when we can pray with expectation, because those last verses tell us that God is able to do all that we ask. He is able to do all that we imagine, and he is able to do more than all we ask or imagine. In fact, we can't measure what he can do. God is greater than any problem we face, any obstacle in our lives, and he longs to bless us more than we can imagine. So let's pray together. Father, we pray for your strength in our inner beings, that we may know Jesus more. We pray that we might begin to grasp just how much you love us. And we pray that you will fill us afresh today. In Jesus' name, amen.